It is so good to see everybody here this morning. My sermon this morning is the continuation of the sermons I began with last week. As I try to point out to you in the sermons last week, you will find verses in the New Covenant that emphasize the importance of repentance, such as Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Or over in the book of Luke, where he says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We understand from these verses alone and many others that repentance is absolutely essential to Christianity. But the question is, what is repentance? And exactly how do you do it? Our sermon last week was an in-depth study on trying to define repentance. And so some of you weren't here last week. And so I'm going to summarize last week's sermon for you, hopefully in 5 minutes. Actually, it's two sermons last week. From Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7, return to me, and I will return to you. And in Acts 28 and verse 27, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. What I tried to show you in last week's study of the subject of repentance is that repentance, first of all, from the Old Testament, is a direction that you're going. It is understanding you're going in the wrong way, you're going into sin, and you're going further from God, and so you need to first of all stop and turn, and then return to God. So first of all, the first definition we learned about repentance, it is a direction you're going. You are either going toward God, drawing near to God, or you're going further away from God. Actually, there's only two possibilities there. You're either going to God or away from God. But repentance is a turning, and repentance is a returning to God. And from Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent therefore and be converted. And then in Romans 12 and verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you look up the English words converted and transformed, you will find the definitions are very similar. And the idea is change is taking place, radical change taking place. And so repentance in and of itself is a transformation taking place within you, a conversion taking place within you, a change taking place within you, and you're being transformed to the image of Christ. Continue with the definitions from last week. From Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 through 9, it says, put on all these. And then from Ephesians 4 verse 23 through 24, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man. So from our definitions last week in our study of repentance, it's a putting off and a putting on. And he gives a long list of sins in Colossians and Ephesians that we are to put off. And then basically when we're talking about putting on, you're putting on the new man, you're putting on Christ. So let's continue again summarizing last week's lessons. Romans chapter 8 verse 13, he says, put to death the deeds of the body. And then from Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, walk in newness of life. And this is from the sermon last Sunday night, trying to show you the level of commitment and the level of repentance of what God desires of us. And that is, when you're dealing with the deeds of the body, the sins, you're to put them to death. And when you talk about putting them to death, as I pointed out in my sermon last Sunday evening, they're not kind of alive. They're not mostly dead, they're dead. And then you rise to walk in newness of life. Again, conversion, transformation. You're going a completely new way in which you're living. Now going back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, it says that we should no longer be slaves of sin. In the same chapter, verse 16 through 19, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So either you're going to be a slave of sin, to where sin reigns over you and you obey it continually, or you're going to be a slave of God and a slave of righteousness, where righteousness and holiness is going to be seen in your life over and over. And then finally, from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, present your bodies as living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Those are last week's sermons. Again, the whole point of last week's sermons was to just simply define what is repentance. Since it's so important, what is it? Our sermon this morning is going to be a study of the goals of repentance. Now that we've defined it, what we're talking about, Now we got to understand there's a goal that we're trying to get to here. And exactly what is or are the goals we're trying to reach? I want to start the sermon this morning by going over to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? I want you to realize it is possible to openly confess that Jesus is the Christ. And it's possible to even go to the point of being baptized, but you haven't repented. I fear sometimes we're almost as bad, if not worse, than Calvinists who talk about salvation by faith only when we give the idea of salvation by baptism only. And repentance isn't necessary. Faith only, baptism only, both of them basically do away with repentance. Repentance is absolutely necessary for salvation. Absolutely necessary. An integral part of our entire relationship with God. So it's not enough to just call him Lord, Lord. It's not enough to just get baptized. He's got to be your Lord, and you've got to repent, truly repent. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. All I wanted to get from it was this particular phrase. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. All I'm wanting you to see is repentance is going to have actions. Repentance is going to have deeds, things you're doing, changes, transformation, conversion, things you can see to where you're doing the will of the Father. The putting off and the putting on is because that's the will of the Father. This is what he's telling me to do and how to live. And so exactly what are the goals? I left my Bible on my pew. I can't believe I did that. That's what gets what I get for coming up here right before the sermon and taking it back to my pew. The reason I took it back to my pew is because I wanted to turn over to 2 Peter. Because where we're going to go to understand the goal, first text we're going to go to is 2 Peter. And I wanted to get my Bible because I wanted to read to you 2 Peter chapter 1 and starting here in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. I want to stop right there. That's what we're putting on. These are the Christian attributes that we are to be adding to our faith. And I want you to realize that it is going to be taking all of your life to do this. This is one of the main lessons I've been trying to teach you about repentance. It is a continual process. It's a process. It is a direction you are going. It is a way that you are living. And to be quite frank about it, we're not at this goal that I'm going to try to show you. The goal is this: for if these things are yours and abound. Oh, there's the goal. You see, you add to your faith virtue. And then you add to that virtue knowledge. And again, you got to understand the example of all of these, and the perfect example is Jesus. Jesus is who it is we're trying to be like. And so you're growing and you're adding all these things to your faith, and you're trying to get to where every one of these, all of these, from the knowledge to the self-control to the perseverance to the godliness to the brotherly kindness to the love, all of these Christian attributes are in you and abounding. I'll put it to you another way. It is possible to be abounding in the knowledge of God's word, and yet you really struggle with your self-control. See what I'm talking about? It's possible that you may have really strong brotherly love, but you're struggling in self-control. You see, you want all of these in you and abounding. That's the goal. We want our faith to be abounding. We want our knowledge of the Word of God to be abounding, our virtue to be abounding, our perseverance to be abounding. So you understand, when you obey the gospel, you start off as a babe in Christ, beginning the journey of transformation, beginning drawing to God, beginning going to God, returning to God, putting off, putting on, putting to death. And this is something you got to understand about sin. Just because you obey the gospel doesn't mean you're not going to have any struggles anymore. Doesn't mean you're not going to get weak at times. Doesn't mean you don't always, and listen to this now, you always got a lot to do. You always are. It's kind of this way. You see the two signs over here on the wall? By the way, thank you, Gary, for putting them back up. We're going to smooth them out, by the way, before we have the meeting. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. The primary command. There's the goals right there, brethren. Anybody reached that yet? You see my point now? You will never reach it. But it's the goal. It's the goal. On this end of our existence, we will never love God with all of our heart. Notice this, he doesn't say, love me with some of your heart. All your heart, all your soul, all of you. Okay, obviously, in examining me, I'm not there yet. That's the whole point I'm trying to make. First of all, you've got to understand what it is we're trying to do here and the goal we're trying to attain to. But don't get discouraged when you realize I'm never going to actually reach the goal completely. To where all of these are in me and abounding and stay in me and abounding, you can have them to this point to where you keep working at it because you recognize, okay, I may know the scriptures really well, but I need to work on my self-control. I may know the scriptures really well, but I need to work on my patience with myself and others. You see how that is? We've always got to keep examining ourselves, seeing where we are, understanding the goal is to put on Christ and to be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. You're going in a direction. You see there? You're going in a direction. The direction is crucial to understand. You're trying to be more like Jesus. That's the direction. I didn't read all of that, I don't think. But if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then dropping down, he says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So you don't grow in self-control. You don't grow in patience. You don't grow in godliness. You got a little bit of it and you're satisfied with where you are. And it's kind of like, I'm just going to put it on cruise here. I got this. I ain't got to worry about it anymore. As soon as you stop going forward, you're going to get weak and start sliding backwards. That is why I'm trying to impress upon you, repentance is primarily a direction you're going. Going continually. But he says, and listen, now look at this last point. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Oh, there it is. You will never stumble. I want to make it to heaven. For me to make it there, I need to understand the goal pertaining to Wayne Fancher is to put all of these Christian attributes to my faith, adding them to my faith, and then work at continually getting to the level to where not one or two of them are in me and abounding, but to where all of them are in me and abounding. That's the goal, okay? That's the goal. We're just trying to point out what goals are here. All right, let's go back to Galatians 2 and 20. Great verse to help you understand the goal we have here. You remember we were talking about transformation, conversion, becoming conformed to Christ, putting to death the old man? Okay. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's the goal. To where it's no longer I who live. That's the goal right there. To where it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Putting it to you another way, go back to the verse here in Romans 12 and 2. This is one of the best verses in the Bible on repentance. And do not become conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let's go back to the verse we just read earlier. It is no longer I who live. What you have here is a transformation taking place. You see that? It's no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. A transformation taking place. And so what I'm seeing here, for me to reach this point to where it's no longer I who live, a transformation, a conversion taking place in me, I put off the old my old man, I'm putting on Christ, and look at this goal now. Sorry, I'm going in the wrong direction. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. All right. The goal. Continual goal. Never-ending goal as long as I am alive is to deny myself. In other words, I can't follow what I want to do. I can't do what I want to do just because I want to do it. Because you got to understand, basically sin is, God, I understand what your desire is for me. I understand how you want me to live, but I really like this sin. And I want to stay in it, okay? No, that's not going to get it. That's not going to get it. We are to follow. And nothing but follow. Follow God. Follow Christ and not follow Wayne. I am not to follow what I want, what I like, how I want it to be. I must deny myself. So, do you deny yourself and you finally got it? As long as I'm alive, I'm going to be fighting against me. To continually to deny myself. To put down my will, to put down my desire, and let the will of God dominate and control my life to where I submit and I obey. You see how that works? And I follow. Submitting, obeying, following is a denying of self and His will to where it's no longer you who live, but Christ living in you. To where you put on Christ and you've been growing in the Christian attributes so long that the Christian attributes are in you and abounding. You see how that's working now? To where when people look at you, what they see is Christ shining through. And people listen to you, when they observe the way you live, the things you refuse to do, the things you are doing, what they're seeing is Christ's reflection shining through you when it's no longer you who live, but Christ is now living in you and shining out of you and shining through you. That is transformation. And I got to continually beat down Wayne so Christ can shine out by me obeying and submitting to His will. It's not enough to call Him Lord, Lord, folks. I got to do what He says do. And when I do what He says do, that's that transformation taking place. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Great verse on helping us understand the goal. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here's the goal. Steadfast is the idea of I'm standing here and I'm not budging. We're talking about in regards to sin. We're talking about in regards to Satan trying to get you to move away from the will of God. Quit following God. Quit following Jesus. Quit submitting. Come on. Give in to temptation. Come back into the world. Come back into the darkness. Steadfast is, I'm immovable, I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going back. But look at the rest of it. Always abounding. You see there? It's not just putting off, it's putting on. You're abounding in the work of the Lord. So look at this as the goal, to be steadfast, to be immovable. It's put this way in the Colossian letter in chapter 1 and 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now look at this. Grounded, steadfast, there's that word again, not moved, immovable. That's the goal. To where when you are being hit by the world in temptation and trials and problems, you can't be moved. You're steadfast. You're immovable. The Hebrew text puts it this way in chapter 3 and in verse 14. If we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. That's the goal. The confidence that I have, the faith that I have, the trust that I have, the hope that I have, hold it steadfast. Don't let go of your relationship and your trust in God all the way to the end. That is the goal. You remember earlier? If you do these things, you'll never stumble. Hold on to their faith all the way, your confidence, conviction, all the way to the end. Goal is heaven, folks. This is how we're going to get there. By repenting. All right. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. That's the goal. Stand fast. You see that word that we have translated in the English? Stand fast. Kind of sounds like steadfast, doesn't it? Stand fast, steadfast. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. The Philippian text says in chapter 4 and verse 1, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So again, I'm wanting to see this standing fast in the faith, standing fast in the Lord. Again, the concept of standing fast is, this is where I am. And no one or anything is going to move me away from my God and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice this again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8. For we live if we stand fast in the Lord. Are you understanding the goal? Steadfast, 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 steadfast in your conviction, in the Lord, in your faith. And then finally, Ephesians. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. All right, stop right there. You remember the other verses we just read above this? Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the faith. Here, you stand and you be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. The point I'm trying to make to you is this. And this is going to be getting into next week's sermon. Because next week we're going to be studying, okay, I got the definition, Wayne. I understand what repentance is now. I understand the goal of repentance. Next week we're going to be studying, how do I do this? I understand what it is. Good. I got the scriptures. I understand the goal exactly where we're trying to get to. But how do I repent? How do you do this? We're going to probably come back to this verse. No probably about it. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's the battle. Satan is going to be attacking us to sin. He's going to be tempting us to sin. He's not going to stop. And you may be doing really well in a particular area. Okay, good. You've got this place strong now. He's not coming in through there, but you got another area over here where he just keeps coming in over and over and over again. Okay, so I got to work at being strong over here, being brave over here, fighting the good fight of faith over here by being strong in the Lord. And the power of His might. Our ability to stand is directly connected to our relationship with our God through faith. There's next week's sermon. Our relationship with our God is directly connected to our relationship. Or our standing strong in the Lord is connected to our relationship with Him through faith. If you're going to be strong, if you're going to stand to where Satan just runs over you, it's going to be because you're strong in the Lord and the power of His might, because you're standing in the Lord and the faith, and you're not going to be budged from it. Holding on to your faith, holding on to that faith that is a connection to your relationship with God. Let's continue now and we'll close this up. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So what's the goal? The goal is when the evil day comes, when Satan is attacking you, that you stand. See how that works? I'm standing. I'm steadfast. I'm standing fast. I'm immovable. Satan is going to hit you again and again and again and again. The goal is to be steadfast to where when he does hit you, you are strong enough because you're able to resist and say, no, I'm not going that way. And you resist the temptation. Listen real closely. In your life, you have been attacked countless times already. And I'm hoping countless times you said no. Countless times you resisted. In those moments, you stood. See there? You stood. You didn't give in to the temptation. You didn't give in. You said no. You were steadfast. You were immovable. Okay, because you stood at certain moments, is he going to give up? Is Satan going to stop hitting you? No. No. And so since Satan is never going to stop hitting me, I must understand this battle is a continual battle. It's a continual battle. And since the battle is a continual battle, then me fighting is a continual fight. Me standing is a continual standing. Me being immovable is continually being immovable. These are the goals. To have the Word of God in us and abounding. To have self-control in us and abounding. To have godliness in us and abounding. Brotherly kindness in us and abounding. Love in us and abounding. That's the goal. The goal is to where it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The goal that I have is to be steadfast and immovable. The goal I have is to stand firm when Satan is hitting me. Those are the goals. And our whole life is spent pressing on toward them. That's why I say repentance is a continual process. So think of repentance this way. What direction are you going? We're coming back to the beginning. What direction are you going? Are you growing in the Christian attributes? You see, you're going one of two directions. You're either growing or you're going backwards. You're either drawing near to God and going in that direction, or you're going further away from God. And the moment you say, hey, I've attained it, I got it, I'm steadfast. Those of you who think you stand, oh, you better take heed lest you fall. As soon as you think, I got it now, I can put it on cruise and we're going to go to heaven. He's got you where he wants you. So recognize to be like Jesus. Everybody here, we all got a long way to go. We always will have a long way to go. Just like I got a long way to go to fulfill those two commands, I got a long way to where it's me who no longer lives, but Jesus who lives in me completely, because the battle to beat down me doesn't go away. And Satan tempting me doesn't go away. So again, I'm coming back to what I'm trying to teach you. Repentance is the direction you're going. It is not necessarily that you have finally reached these goals and you got it. It is going toward the goal by faith. It is pressing toward the goal by faith. It is going in the direction of trying to be more like God, more like Jesus, pleasing to God. It's a continual process of putting off and putting on. It's a continual process of fighting. It's a continual process of standing. It's a continual process of transformation. You see that now? All right. Good. I'll be quiet. I'll stop the sermon now, because next week we're going to come back to it and we're going to be studying in depth, how do you repent? How do you do all of this? We understand the goal. How do we get there? I thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning who's not in Christ yet, You know, sometimes whenever we talk about becoming a Christian, it's not difficult to confess your faith. It's not difficult to get baptized. Repentance is where the battle and struggle is. It's the biggest commitment of your life. Sometimes I fear that people do not obey the gospel because they think, I cannot become and be that. The commitment starts off with you as a babe in Christ, growing from there. The growing is the fruit meat of repentance. It is the fruit that comes from your repenting. The transformation is going to be taking the rest of your life. The repentance is going to be taking the rest of your life. The commitment begins when you obey the gospel. You understand that now? It's not that you've obeyed the gospel and boom, I'm super Christian. I got all these Christian attributes in me and abounding. I obeyed the gospel last month. Really? No, it doesn't work that way. You obey the gospel, you make the commitment to repent. Understanding, I got to put all this off, it's sinful, and I got to put on Christ, and it's going to be taking the rest of my life to be working at this. Make that commitment of repentance, and we were glad to baptize you into the body of Christ. If you're in Christ already, and you've struggled with sin so much that you're down on the ground entangled in it, and you realize you're not right with your God, deal with the sin. This is tonight's sermon. Deal with the sin. Yeah. And get up and get untangled, taking the sin to God, repenting of it. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you and do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know. We'll stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Once again, well, show me my sin.